Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. We know that understanding if someone is an introvert or an extrovert gives us certain insights into their personality and why they do what they do. But how can that information be utilized in marketing our business? My guest today is a serious student of personality types, and he's ready to share with us a few tips on leveraging introvert energy, building your team, and the importance of setting clear intentions for your business and relationships. James Wedmore is an introvert and a serial entrepreneur. After starting several businesses at a young age, James built up an online publishing business selling information products in several markets such as weight loss, relationship advice, and internet marketing. Even though James is an introvert, he utilizes the internet as a social playground, creating relationships and connections that have propelled his business to a new level. James is also passionate about Myers-Briggs and personality types, which he uses to help him better understand his market and his customers. James is someone who has truly been able to understand and master the qualities of an introvert in becoming a successful entrepreneur. Welcome, James. I am so glad to have you here on this podcast today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Beth. I'm really excited.
Well, I want to kick things off with you talking a little bit about your career path, because you've chosen an unconventional, but it seems increasingly common career journey. How have you, and what I've noticed is that you seem to make your work fit your lifestyle rather than the other way around. And so how have you done that?
That's very true. And I think it really started being a stubborn introvert at a young age where I did not like other people telling me what to do. I didn't want someone who I knew I was smarter and more capable of telling me how I needed to get things done. I was, you know, making money through college as a bartender and servers, and these people were bossing me around, and being around a lot of people drained my energy a lot. So that really got me the leverage and the force to kind of set up my own lifestyle. And the internet's always, you know, been a place of opportunity since its birth. And that's where I found myself, you know, starting out with doing eBay stuff, and now I have what I kind of like to call an info publishing, online publishing business model. And the beauty about that, being an entrepreneur or an introvert and an entrepreneur on the internet, is that I think the biggest thing is you get to choose your own hours. A lot of people will say this, the onlinepreneurs, the e-preneurs, will tell you that they work better at night. And a lot of them don't know why. They just say, oh yeah, I always end up working at night. You know, I'm up until 3 a.m. And my theory, my guess is that it's when we're the most productive. You know, we want to work when we have the most energy, we're getting the most done, feel like we're checking off the most off our to-do list. But I think the real reason why is because no one's disturbing us.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, no one's bugging us. They're asleep, they're off, they're partying or out dinner, and we're in our room in front of the computer, focused, getting stuff done. And it's definitely been a challenge, you know, because I have family friend and friends and girlfriend, and they want to hang out at night, and I'm like, that's when I work. But for getting results done, getting work done, I mean, being an entrepreneur is awesome, being your own boss, because you get to choose when you work, you get to choose what you do and outsource the rest. And I really think that has helped me create my perfect life, where I'm happy doing that.
It sounds like you were really aware of your needs and what gave you energy and what drained you energy at a fairly early age. And so you were able to enter into your career right out of the gate, creating it in a way that worked for you.
We've talked about this before, I think for an introvert, it's the most important thing. And I mean, you know, I've told you I'm big on the personality types. Whenever I'm at an event meeting someone new, I won't find out if they're an introvert or an extrovert right away. And when they are an introvert, the first piece of advice I give them is, well, the first one is actually say no and own it. You know, know that you're an introvert and be proud of it. And the second thing is know what charges you and what drains you. Because my whole life, my dad always told me time is money. Time is the most valuable asset. You know, time. Don't waste your time. Time is precious. And that really got ingrained into me, but he's a big extrovert. And for me, being an introvert, I really had to adapt a new lesson, which is that energy, your energy is your most valuable asset. Because the example I give is you can go to a gym right now and pick up the heaviest weight that you can imagine, lift it over your head, and then squat down so that you're bending down below parallel, and then try and hold that for a minute. And that minute will be the longest time of your life. Now, mm-hmm. if I say, go take your best friends and go to an amusement park and go on your favorite ride, you could do that all day, and it would seem like it went by in 30 minutes. Because of how we're spending our energy, there are certain things in our lives that charge us and give us more energy, and there are certain things that drain our energy. And for an introvert, we are very much more sensitive to what can drain us. Just being around other people, not having time to yourself alone with no one, even your wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, or close family members, you need absolute time to yourself to have some sort of recharging capability so that you're at your fullest potential. And, and when you're an entrepreneur and you're starting a business and you got to be working, a lot, you're doing all kinds of stuff, wearing all types of hats, you definitely need some sort of time to recharge. So what I've found is that for my business, when I'm working in front of the computer and I'm doing stuff at night, even though I'm working, that's the stuff that's actually charging me. It doesn't mean that my entire business runs just on the internet and I'm not, going out networking and working with other people, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I've set up so that the work that I do, especially in front of the computer at night by myself, is actually charging me, not draining me. And you have to be very conscious of the things that are. If you're an introvert, loud stimulus, going out to nightclubs will be fun and stuff like that, or going out to big dinners and stuff, that stuff's fun, but it's also draining. And it might be on a little level, it might be on a huge scale. But we just have to be very conscious of that.
Yeah, what's striking me as you're talking that I hadn't really thought about before is that introverts have to be much more intentional about controlling those things that do drain their energy, whereas extroverts, are natural. The way society is set up is much more social than it is, it values the social and it's out there much more, whereas you really have to be intentional in work to get solitude. So my guess is that the extrovert, if they're feeling drained because of too much solitude, they can solve that in a heartbeat. It's the solution
exactly.
is obvious. Whereas introverts, we have to work on it.
Yeah. So and that becomes challenging too. If you're going head to head with an extrovert, they've got some things to our advantage. Take it to the high school or college example. You're taking midterms. You're up all night studying for this big test. When you're done, what do you want to do? You just want to pass out for 2 days and say, leave me alone. The extrovert wants to go out. They're like, oh, I need to relax. I need to be around people. I need to go out. I need to have the noise and the lights and everything. And we're just like, oh my gosh, keep that away from me.
Yeah, pull the covers over the head.
So they get charged by all the things that are draining us. So we just have to be very careful with that. And I don't want you to think that, boy, we got the raw end of the stick, because my big theory is that as an introvert, we have this innate ability to kind of draw from deep within ourselves to find a level of motivation, determination, inspiration, innovation that really no extrovert could, that can compel us to go further, longer, faster, and harder. And that's my theory, and that's what I've had to tell myself to be, continue saying I'm proud to be an introvert.
Yeah, because, the more we stand in the power and the strength of being an introvert, the more it's going to work for our advantage. And so, James, to me, you appear, because you're so present online, you appear to me online to be extroverted. So I've seen some things lately that have said somebody can be an online extrovert and an offline introvert. So
yes.
That's my perception. So how would you characterize yourself, and how does your online and offline life support the, how does each support the other?
Well, going back to what I said earlier about, being the introvert, I can draw from within to do whatever it takes. And I love that slogan. I just, you know, I have that written on my my whiteboard above my desk, whatever it takes. And I can be, I mean, I'm here, you know, the stereotypical things of an introvert, the qualities of an introvert are, oh, they talk quietly and slowly with their head down, and they're shy and in the corner and stuff like that. And of course, those are usually extroverts, but that doesn't mean that that's how we have to be. And here I am talking loud, I'm talking fast. But I'm still an introvert. And it's only because I'm passionate about something. And this is a topic I'm very passionate about. So when you find something in your life that you're passionate about, usually entrepreneurs are passionate about their business, their idea, and taking action on that, then you get to choose how you want to be, and that's really what I chose to be. And so, yes, online, on the social networks, I can, you know, I can tweet and tag with the best of them and conversate and share and be loud and have fun with multiple people. And it's not draining, because I know at the end of the day, it's for the ultimate goal of my passion of building my business. And the same is actually true offline, where I told you this before the call, I just came back from two events, two full three-day events in Las Vegas, if you can imagine that. Mm. You know, an introvert's worst nightmare.
Yeah, exactly.
So many,
hell to
you know, sensors and then lights and noise and everything. But, I mean, I was fully charged the whole time. And, I mean, I have a gigantic stack of business cards. I met and created incredible relationships and was awesome, totally extroverted. And there are people that will sit down as we have conversations at lunch, and I'll start to tell them a little bit about what I know about personality types. And I'll sit there and I'll say that I'm an introvert. And I love, and when I end up saying it, because everyone's like, no way, BS, not true. No way, you're the biggest extrovert I've ever met. Like, you're off talking to everybody, you're a social butterfly, you know everyone at this event. And I'm like, oh, I'm so introvert. When I go home, at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. I mean, I came back home and I was done. I'm like, just leave me alone in my room for a day and I'll be good. And that's it. But what's driving me is not necessarily the people there. You know, an extrovert just needs to be around people and connect with people and blah, blah, blah. But what's driving me is the ideas that these people have, the relationships, the potential opportunities that can be created with these people. And that's why I said at the very beginning, you need to understand what charges you and what drains you. And then when you can identify what's charging you, you need to use that in any situation that you're in. And that's what I was able to do. So when I am truly an introvert, it is only when I'm working in the office at home. When I have to come back and actually get the work done that I tell people I'm going to do, that's when I go back into my introverted space, sit in front of the computer, my friends call me, family calls me, and go straight to voicemail, and I'm just working away.
Yeah. Well, something that struck me was that what you said, motivated not by the people, but the ideas those people have.
Absolutely.
And that's a very interesting reframe and perspective that, you know, for the introvert who is perhaps overwhelmed by going to those types of events, to focus not necessarily on the people and that energy, but the energy that can happen through the conversations and the ideas that you're sharing. It's a small shift, but it might shift things just enough that your passion can come through and be more comfortable.
Right. And another thing I'll add there, and this is a little different, but if you just look, and I have, I've taken my time, I try and go to a minimum of 6 marketing events a year. And that's something for maybe you're just starting out and you haven't gone into an event yet. If I have to give any type of marketing or business advice to anyone who is an entrepreneur, an online marketer, or doing something in life, or even whatever your industry is, you need to be going to these events. Because really what does build your business is getting other people involved. And I think that's a big pitfall. Like, that was my huge pitfall for me. And I hope I'm not overlapping into another question, but was finding that I wanted to do it all myself. When I had my first website, I'm like, oh, I need a website? Okay, well, I'm going to learn HTML. Oh, I need to have logos and designs? Oh, I'm going to learn graphic design then. Oh, I need to learn how to copy? Okay, I'll get a copywriting course and I'll do that too. Now I need to create a product? Okay, learn how to do something. You know, it was everything myself. That is the slow way. That's the long way, and that's absolutely ridiculous. No matter how big of an introvert we are, we have to realize that there is no other way to build your business and make more money faster and quicker and easier than getting other people involved by creating a team. And I can talk more about that in a second, but what I realized was going to these events, the Internet and people who are looking for opportunities on the Internet and building business on the Internet are mostly introverts. So when I go to an event and everyone there, or 75% of the room, are introverts, I get to play the extrovert. It's easy. I'm the popular kid there because I'm less introverted than them. That's all I'm doing is being what they're not, and or what they don't have, at their disposal, and then I get to network to my advantage because of that. So, live events, I will tell anybody, are the number one thing that you can do to benefit. One relationship can be, all you need to build, a six-figure business.
Yeah, I've heard all sorts of stories where it's like that one connection was the key to unlocking a whole network.
Yes.
of benefit.
Absolutely.
Mutual benefit. Well, one thing you mentioned as you were talking that leads to my next question has to do with marketing. And one of the reasons you and I originally connected was because of your interest in personality types and specifically how personality types relate to marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So how does knowing about personality influence an entrepreneur's marketing strategy?
Awesome. Okay. So what I focus on is Myers-Briggs personality types, and that uses, introverts versus extroverts. There are 16 personality types, and they're broken up into like four different categories: the introvert, the extrovert, the intuitive, the sensor, the thinker, the feeler, and the judger and the perceiver. And I know I went over that very fast. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend anyone listening to go Google Myers-Briggs and take a free test and identify not just whether or not they're truly an introvert or an extrovert, but there are other three qualities or temperaments as well.
What is yours?
So I'm an INTJ.
INTJ? Okay.
INTJ. And you're an INFJ, is that correct?
That's right.
Awesome. I love the INFJs. So how does this influence my marketing? Well, the first thing I do is when I'm in a market and I'm learning everything about a market, I want to try and create, some marketers have called this an avatar or a persona. And what this is when you do all your marketing, you're marketing to one specific person. You might have a market that's, millions of people, women, young women who want to lose weight. That's your market. But you want to narrow that down to the 23-year-old Sally Jenkins in San Diego, California. She's 5'6", and she weighs this many pounds, and she wants to lose this much weight. I mean, you get as specific as possible for Sally. Well, one of the things I do is I give her a personality type. And when I give her a personality type, and I memorize, most of the 16 personality types, exactly what that is, the person. I mean, I have every person I come in contact, I usually ask their personality type, so I start to find all the relationships with all the other INTJs. Or all the relationships, what do you have in common with all the other INFJs I've come across? And I kind of meld that into someone. That becomes my avatar. And so if we go, okay, well, Sally Jenkins down in San Diego is an ESFP. And that's her personality type. That's one of the 16 types. And, and I've narrowed that down because of the market research and everything. So I go, well, who isn't an ESFJ? And I go, well, she's very spontaneous, she's loud and bubbly and very friendly, she loves to go out, she drinks a lot and, with her friends and all this stuff. And I start to identify exactly who this person is. Now, when I create my entire marketing message, I'm using her and I'm focusing it towards her. So it's a very clear message. And a direct match with the market. So that's really the first thing I do. The second thing I do with personality types is I understand who the buyers are, not just on a specific personality type, but on one of the temperaments. Since I'm selling information products, which I'm teaching you how to lose weight, teaching you how to make more money, teaching you this, teaching you that. We've found that, there are 80% of the population are sensors. And I know if you don't know Myers-Briggs, you don't know this, but 80% of the population have one of these four letters in their personality type, the S. And what the sensors enjoy and what they thrive on are step-by-step details. So when I'm selling something or teaching something, I know that if I do not put it in a step-by-step formula, if I don't give the details, the specifics, down to the most minute details, my customers aren't going to be happy. While the intuitives, which is the smaller, like 20 to 30% of the population, they just need the broad brush strokes. They just need the general big picture idea, and they can usually fill in the gaps. And so those are the people that end up not buying as much because they don't need the details. So I've tailored my marketing to say, okay, I'm going to give you the seven-step formula for losing 5 pounds in a week, blah, 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 you know, and all the seven things they need to do down to exactly what they're eating, exactly how long they work out, exactly this, exactly that. So, you know, and I can go on and on, but it's been very powerful, and I use it even, I think I use it even more in the real world on an everyday basis when I'm talking to people. And you know, it's obviously, I could really go on forever on some of the cool things I do. As soon as I can identify someone's personality type, there are certain things you can do to, I don't want to use the word necessarily influence, even though we're influencing everyone we come in contact on a daily basis, but we are, there are certain things you can do to understand their world and therefore, you know, go in alignment with them instead of butting heads with them, if that makes sense.
Yes, and the word that comes up is make a connection with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because something I think we sometimes forget as entrepreneurs, especially if we're solopreneurs, is that not everybody thinks the same way we do. Not everyone responds to the same things that we do. And so what you're reminding us is that we have to think like our customer thinks. And
yes,
you putting it through this particular filter of the Myers-Briggs brings you a lot of great information that helps you take it out of your own filter and what would speak to you and help you remember, this is what my ideal client or customer is going to respond
right,
to.
They don't necessarily think like you. And with marketing, the number one key with copywriting and just marketing and selling in general is empathy. Being able to understand your customer, but be able to actually have them say, wow, this guy or this gal gets me.
Yes.
And you do that, I mean, it's extremely powerful. And you know, beyond that, because I could be an advocate for this all day to just learn this, this is, you know, one of the most valuable things you can have in your toolkit, because I've been able to improve relationships with family and friends, get more of what I wanted, learn more about people, I mean, influence, persuade others just by having this, because when you get someone else's world and they get yours, you know, it opens whole new doors for you. So I'm a big fan of Myers-Briggs.
So what insights would be helpful for introverts to consider if they're in their business, in their personal lives, if they're kind of swimming in extroverted waters? What can they know about extroverts that will help them?
Well, let me answer your question. One of the things we do have some strengths that the extroverts don't have, and one of them is our ability to go deep on something. And what I mean by that is that extroverts, and I'm speaking in broad generalities, this isn't for everybody, and if there's an extrovert listening, I don't want them getting offended or anything like that.
Right.
But extroverts tend to be, to like to talk about a lot of things and not go deep on specific things. Well, you can go to a cocktail party, and the extrovert is 1 minute they're talking about their favorite sports team, and the next minute they're talking about how the weather is, and then they're off to talking about their kids. While the introvert, you walk by two introverts having a conversation, and for 2 hours they could be in the same conversation. And the same conversation has gone deeper and deeper and deeper about, you know, how they've started their business and the marketing strategies that they've used to influence and persuade, and now they're talking about Myers-Briggs and what they're, you know, and it's the same conversation, just deeper and deeper and deeper. So we have a lot of strengths, and that's another one I wanted to make sure I put out there. But I've always been able to say that an introvert can be an extrovert a lot easier than an extrovert can be an introvert. And what I mean by that is I know you've talked about this a lot, is that there's such negative connotation with being an introvert that people, oh, that's not me, I'm not a recluse, I'm not shy, I go out, I meet people and all that stuff, and they truly are an introvert. It's like, well, yes, because we have the ability to talk as loud and as much and as fast as an extrovert if we want to. You know, get us talking about something we're passionate about, get us talking about something we're excited about, and we can do that. But then at the end of the day, we can go back in, we can do the thing that charges, you know, we can go to a yoga class, meditation, read that book that's giving us all those new ideas, and the extrovert's still out there talking. And, you know, and you've obviously heard about, you know, the importance of listening and communication, and that's what introverts do extremely well. So we have these things to our advantage. But I always say that the introvert can be the extrovert all day long, as much as we want to be, as long as we have introvert time. But it is much more difficult for the extrovert to become the introvert, to stop talking, to look within and not always without, to go deep on subjects and to draw energy internally as opposed to externally. So those are some powerful things. Some other things just for business, what we get at our disposal is being, if you're starting an online business, you're doing anything on the internet, which if you have a business and you're not using the internet, you're crazy.
Yeah, you don't exist, essentially.
Yeah, you really don't today. But, you know, I for a while I was speaking to real estate agents, teaching them the benefits of social media. And I really didn't want it to be this, but it became this, I got to convince you to use social media, because they were all extroverts. This is a perfect example of how I use Myers-Briggs. I narrowed it down. When I would speak, I was speaking about a group of 50 to 70 professional residential real estate agents all throughout California. And I narrowed it down to they were all ESTJs or ESFJs. So I took 16 personality types, narrowed them down to two types. I knew who this type was to their core. I knew what motivated them. I knew what got them up in the morning. I knew how they were making their money, because I knew everything. I knew more about them than they did. And when I spoke to them, it turned out that I was actually convincing them to be using the internet to market their business, to use the social media and stuff like that. And I found out the reason they didn't want to do it was because they couldn't sit in front of a computer for more than 5 minutes. And they just didn't get it. They couldn't sit down long enough to figure it out. An introvert can do that. An introvert can absolutely do that. They have that ability to not get bored easily, to focus in on one thing, narrow down and do that. And that was a big challenge I was dealing with. And I had to end up selling services on, we do it for you. Don't worry, you don't have to sit in front of a, you know, and that's, I would say that in my presentations. Don't worry, you don't have to sit in front of a computer for hours on end trying to figure it out. We're going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So you can continue talking with people, doing what you love, connecting with new clients out there in the field. You know, I spoke directly to them as the extrovert. So, you know, I think that's another benefit for us. Another thing I want to add, hopefully this still is on topic with your question and not overlapping another one, but I talked about having a team or having more people help you, not doing this alone. And what I like to say, too, is that extroverts are very good at managing people. So if you're an introvert and you're in a manager position, it's difficult for you. It's draining. My mom is a manager. And she comes home and she's exhausted, and it's very, very draining for her. She's very good at what she does, but it's, at the end of the day, she comes home and she just wants to go to sleep. It's difficult. And if you're an extrovert, it's a natural position for you. You get to be in charge of corralling other people and telling them what to do all day long. They love that. So I say that extroverts are very good at managing people. Introverts are very good at managing systems. And systems are simply robots, or people that don't have variables and emotions. So what I mean by that, on the internet, there are tons of systems. When you set up your AWeber account to do email marketing, if you're familiar with that, you're setting up a system. You're setting up an email system that will send out an email to your new clients on day 1, day 5, day 12, day 32, day 567, and that does it automatically. We love that type of stuff. We love to have something done for us automatically. We set it up once and we forget about it, and it just keeps working for us. Now, we could hire someone to send out emails for us every day one, day five, day seven. That would be a nightmare for us, wouldn't it? So the introverts get more charged off of creating and managing systems. And what I've ended up doing with my system is built out a team of outsourcers. And that's what I'm a huge advocate of, is having a team, at least one virtual assistant working for you, no matter what level you're at your business. Because a lot of people say, well, I'd love to outsource, but I can't afford it. My response to them is, you can't afford it because you're not outsourcing. And that you're losing money by not outsourcing. Because as an entrepreneur, and we're just starting out, we're on the internet, we're trying to do everything ourselves. And what I ended up doing was I found a few people in the Philippines, and now I've built up this team, and it's growing at an exponential rate, and I'm so excited about it. And they've been able to not just free up my time, but my energy. I don't have to do the stuff that I was doing, like HTML and graphic design. I have people doing that for me, and the best part is they're only $2 an hour, and you can actually get them for less than that. And so I highly recommend that if you're doing this alone, that you get the systems in place, and most importantly, you get some sort of virtual assistant in place. I recommend anyone from the Philippines. There's a great website called onlinejobs.ph. That's where I go, and it's definitely worth checking out.
Can I throw you a slight curveball?
Yes.
So as I'm listening, and I am on board, obviously my business is based on speaking to differences in personality, and you said something earlier that I'm always cautious of, which is about, generalizing people, putting them in too broad of a category. And so, how do you, as you're looking at this and, with your depth of knowledge, how do you avoid putting a label on somebody and saying, well, okay, you're this, and so I know all about you? Like, that's my curveball.
Yeah, no, that's great, and it definitely becomes a pitfall for me, and I just make the effort to get to know people. And so what I actually, when I discovered my first peek at Myers-Briggs, I mean, when this was taught to us in I think it was Psychology 101 back in like freshman year of college, I was sleeping through the whole course. I didn't understand the importance of it. And then someone came to me, they sat me down, and they had been listening to me speak on a topic, and then they sat me down and they started talking about me, and I swear it was like they had a crystal ball and they were a psychic teller telling me everything about my life based on my personality. I was blown away. I was like, how did you know that? Like, he told me why I chose the clothes I wore in the morning based off of my personality. I was like, absolutely insane at the depth of knowledge that this individual had. And so when I chose, okay, I got to learn this stuff, I kept a journal, and I still keep it and use it today. So hopefully this will answer your question, where I wrote down all the 16 personality types, and every person I come into contact with, I write their name into that journal and then write out the key characteristics, even physical features and everything else, their actions, their behaviors that I've noticed that stand out about them. And I look at them, and I mean, my uncle is an INFJ, and it's very hard to see similarities. Like it's very interesting, because I am completely 100% on board that we are all uniquely different. It's our environment, our experiences, the relationships we have with people, our culture, our everything that creates and defines who we are. But there's something about Myers-Briggs that just lays a foundation for not necessarily who they are, but just kind of what helps guide them, what motivates them to make their decisions. Do they make their decisions based on their gut feeling or on the logical numbers they see on a piece of paper? What charges them, being around people or reading a book? How is their life structured? Are they clean and tightly organized and they're always on time, or are they laid back and they'll get it done when they get it done? And so these type of things don't define us and cause me to stereotype people, but just kind of set up the framework with, okay, here's what I'm working with. And like I said, with this journal, I've been able to see two people on the same personality test that are, you know, at face value, 100% different. 100% different. Because I know other INTJs that are very shy, very quiet, and 100% opposite of me. And, you know, I just think it's because I've made a choice not to be like that. I was extremely shy and quiet in high school, so I don't think I will ever let myself stereotype, because I know that it isn't a one-size-fits-all. There aren't only 16 types of people out there in
right.
the world. So,
right.
But at a core level, like, you are either an introvert or an extrovert. But like, if I go to you and I ask you if you're right-handed or left-handed, and you tell me you're right-handed, it doesn't mean that you don't ever use your left hand. You know, it doesn't mean your left hand's always tied behind your back. You use your left hand all the time. You just use your right hand more. And some people use their right hand more than others. And so there are degrees. There's tons of variables in place there. So yeah. a great question. I love the curveball.
Well, and what you're reminding us all is that, you know, information like this, whether it's Myers-Briggs or any other type of personality assessment, because I don't know if it's an introvert trait or not, but I love to take personality assessments and quizzes and tests and all of that just to get to know myself and to look at those things as, you know, powerful information, not necessarily a definition or a label or meant to put you into a box. It's about just giving you information that informs, because like you said, you could have two people of the same, and I know another INFJ that I'm like, wow, she, mm-hmm. I never would have guessed. And, you know, because right. her strengths are so different from mine and the way she expresses herself and shows up is so different. And yet I know that, you know, we connected immediately when we started talking. So thank you for that curveball answer. I appreciate it. And,
absolutely.
I have one more kind of, you know, two sides of the same coin question here as the last one for this conversation. And that is, what's the biggest mistake you see people making when they're showing up online? And then what are some things that particularly introverted entrepreneurs can do to have a more powerful presence?
Excellent. Okay, biggest mistakes they're making, I've already said them, but we're going to say them clearly now. They don't understand the power of relationships. I work closely with a gentleman by the name of Dave Powers. He is a YouTube superstar. He gets 80,000 YouTube views a day, and we created a business teaching how anybody could become a YouTube star following our very simple model. And in it, we uncover and we use case studies of all these professional, you know, these YouTube kids that are making all the big bucks, and we looked at their stories and all that stuff. They're getting 2 million views a day. And the way they did it was they created strategic relationships with other YouTube stars that are getting 2 million views a day. You cannot do this alone. I know you think the comfort of the internet means I don't get to get bothered by anybody, I don't have to pick up the phone, but without relationships, you do it on your own, you're doomed for failure. And I want to say it that extreme. People will give me an example. No, I've never contacted someone and I'm making $1 million. But the majority of us need to be creating strategic relationships. You need to have mentors in your life that have walked the path that you're currently walking, that can guide you, show you the quickest shortcuts, and give you the best advice. And then you need peers, people at the same level, people that are right above you, to push you, keep you going, and to help you. And you need to make sure that you're helping others. I think that's helping others. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is what I said about outsourcing. You have to be building a team. I think getting systems and team building in place for your business is one of the most crucial first steps you have to take. Because if you don't have systems in place, which I know it doesn't sound sexy, you know, systems aren't, you know, I'm going to show you this system, it's not very sexy, but if you don't have systems in place, you don't have a business. Because otherwise you're just working harder, making less money than if you just worked at McDonald's, and that's no fun. So those are my two big ones. My third one is, because we're introverts, watch very carefully what you're doing with your time and your energy. I have spent days and days and weeks doing stuff that never, ever paid off. If you're just starting out or if you're still in a startup mode, you want to focus on the things that will bring you profit quicker. So if you go, okay, I'm starting my business. This week I'm going to create my Facebook fan page. Next week I'm going to create my Twitter page. I'm going to send out 10 tweets a day. I'm going to set up my blog, and then I'm going to write a blog post, and I'm going to do this and do this. none of that stuff will bring you money. None of that stuff. You do not get paid when you create a Facebook fan page. You do not get paid when you create a YouTube video. And so, and people sometimes forget that. There are easier ways and quicker ways to get some money, to get traffic to a site and get it, make, create your offer, get someone to buy, because remember, you do not get paid when the, until the sale is made. And that's very important. So there are really two reasons why, you know, you wouldn't be making money in your business. And that's one, you're not talking to enough people or getting enough people to your offer. And then two, you're not asking for money, or enough money.
So, isn't that amazing? We're business owners and sometimes we're afraid to ask for the sale.
I know. And
what's up with that?
Because we've been ingrained to be employees our whole life. So, you know, we weren't really taught that, you know, and everything is selling. We should know that, that, you know, we're selling every day. We're selling when we're on the phone. We're selling to ourselves. We're selling ourselves. And so we do need to be able to do that. It's something I've definitely had to work on. It's not easy, especially for the introvert. And yeah, what was the second part of the question? It was,
well, you've kind of covered, you've touched on each of them. When I said the thing was So, you know, what's the biggest mistake you see? And then what are things that can introvert entrepreneurs can do to have a more powerful online presence? And so I've heard, you know, making strategic relationships, and especially with mentors, people ahead of you, and then peers, outsourcing and systems.
The last thing I would say, and this kind of goes in conjunction with the relationships, you know, it's kind of like be an extrovert one or two days of the week, right? And then you can go back into your cave and be an introvert and just rock it. But I've been doing, you know, internet marketing for about 4 years now, and one of the things that they're having a problem with, like the industry leaders, is no one is showing up to the live events. And it's partly because of the economy that we've been in and the cost involved. You know, you got to pay $2,000 to go to an event. It's halfway across the country. You got to buy a plane ticket. I'm in a hotel for not 3 nights, but 4 nights, because I got to get there the day before and then leave the next day after. And then I got to buy food for $25 a pop at these expensive, you know, hotel restaurants, and my costs go out the window. And then I'm just pitched the entire time at the conference for $2,000 product. How much do I, you know, need to get there? So it could be expensive, but that's why the event attendance have gone down. But when I hear that, I'm like, that's ridiculous, because, like I said, I 2009, I actually went to 15 different events. A lot of them was because I knew people, I got free access, they were nearby. I don't recommend that many, of course. But it's crazy that no one's going to these events. I mean, that's the first thing I say. That's the first mistake people are making, is you got to go to one at least, because that's where you can meet people. You don't even need to listen to whoever's talking on stage. Go in the hallway when you're getting lunch. In between the breaks, you're talking to people, and you're networking. It's crazy. So that's the biggest mistake most people are making. They're not connecting with people offline to build the relationship does. It starts offline, and then it's grown and nurtured online.
So I have a last question for you that I ask of all of my guests.
All right.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have a ready answer. But if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, all expenses paid, so there's not that cost barrier that you were just talking about, and you only had room for 3 books in your suitcase, what would you take with you and why?
And I can't just say I'm just going to take my Kindle.
No, you can't. No. I'm sorry. Kindles are banned. There's no Wi-Fi on this island.
Okay. I hate to say. Fair enough. Okay, I would take Napoleon Hill's Law of Success, which is, I don't know, it was like 600 pages. So that would keep me busy for a while. I'm not the first one I take. And then I take Michael Gerber's E-Myth Mastery. And then I would take, I'm thinking probably Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think I said the title right. I usually botch the title.
Nope, that's right.
I have it. But yes, that's what I. Those are my 3 books. I love 7 Habits. It's an incredible book, and I love the others as well. So,
which habit benefits you the most, or that you pay the most attention to?
Okay, it's number 2. Let me grab the book out. It's number two, which I think is something like think with the end in mind.
Begin with the end in mind.
Yes, begin with the end in mind. Thank you. And I mean, this is totally for another call, but like a big thing I talk about is the ability that an entrepreneur needs to have to cultivate their intuition and being able to, you know, work on their business as opposed to in their business, thinking, you know, being the captain of their ship. They're looking at the horizon, not what's the machine inside the ship as much. Need to be flexible, especially on the internet. Things change so fast that you need to know when your next product's out. You need to know what emerging trends before they happen. And that's really, that rings true for me, and I definitely try and use that every day for myself.
Yeah, and that bottom line's one of the themes that has run throughout this call, which is the power of connection, of showing up, of getting out there, getting offline, being with other people.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you're going to know these trends.
Yeah, I understand it's not easy if you're an introvert. I mean, I totally get that because we are introverts and we're saying to do it. I just think the key distinction is knowing why you're going to do it. You know, you're not doing it just because it's another cocktail party and you got to socialize because everyone says it's normal. You know, you're doing it because you're passionate about an idea, you're passionate about your business, and you know that the only way to grow to the level that you want and make the idea a reality is getting the help you need, the leverage you need from, you know, key joint venture partners, that person that has that 20,000 email list that in a push of a button can drive you 20,000 visitors to your offer and make you the money you need overnight. You know, that happens with building relationships, and it usually happens offline rather than online.
Well, your enthusiasm is contagious because I find myself almost wishing that I had an event to go to today. Almost.
Next week.
Next week. Yeah, I'll listen to this podcast, and that'll refire my engine there to get up and go. Yeah. So. So James, how can people reach you and learn more about you and what you have to offer?
Okay, a lot of what I do is like I like to say I'm a behind the scenes guy. I do marketing for other people and stuff, and I really don't promote myself too much. But I do have a blog at jameswedmore.com. Once a week, I try and just give valuable content. I just posted a video that goes, I think it's like 15 minutes long, talking specifically step by step on outsourcing and how I built a team out of the Philippines, and I'm paying them less than $300 a week, and you know, it's freed up not just my time but my energy. And so
energy,
I highly invite people to just to go check out the blog, the post. Like I said, I do a video a week. I'm just giving content. I'm in several different markets, and I always like to share what's working for me for my lucky readers. So, yeah, go visit me over on jameswedmore.com.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing what's working for you here with the podcast listeners. Really appreciate it. So thank you so much, James.
Absolutely.
This has been fabulous. And like you said, I think that we have multiple topics. So I hope maybe you'll come back for a future podcast and we can continue the conversation.
Oh, I'm more than willing.
Awesome. This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. Special thanks to James Wedmore for joining me today. And thank you for spending this time with me. I hope you'll join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me, along with more than 1,300 other introverts, on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.